Radio.
As to count 13, Georgia Thompson, that the defendant should be sentenced to death.
A Maricopa County jury decides to fate a convicted baseline killer Mark Goodell, sentencing him to 9 death sentences. Protests turned ugly at the Scottsdale Kierland Resort. Occupy Phoenix protesters pepper sprayed by Phoenix police.
Makes you choke. It's very, very painful.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies looking for suspects at least 4 home burglaries.
The concern is, of course, that the suspects will return, and always the risk is that, you know, will they be willing to enter an occupied home?
2,900 pounds of marijuana seized by the Border Patrol in 2 instances.
These smugglers are often abandoning their contraband because they don't want to get apprehended.
An 18-year-old gets hit by a school bus in Mesa.
It looks like at this point the driver of the school bus will face at least a citation for failing to yield while turning left.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by Valley Honda Dealers. You're going to find a very serious accident, 59th Avenue north of Indian School Road. There's also the shoulder being blocked because of a collision westbound of the 10th and 7th Avenue. And you're going to find a semi versus a pickup truck at the exit ramp westbound on the Papago right at Litchfield Road. Now, your Valley Honda Dealers have a great selection of new Hondas in stock right now, just in time for the Happy Days clearance. Get the best deals of the year with clearance pricing at your Valley Honda dealer today.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. November going out in a pretty nice way with temperatures mid to upper 70s today. Tomorrow, December 1st, a big winter storm ahead. That means very windy. Areas of blowing dust down here, only 64. Friday and Saturday, mid to upper 50s for highs, scattered showers. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 75 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes. We're going to break here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
If you're a Native American who was denied a farm loan or loan servicing from the USDA between 1981 and late 1999, you could get a payment of up to $50,000 or more from a $760 million settlement. Claims must be filed by December 27, 2011. For free help filing a claim, go to IndianFarmClass.com or call 1-888-233-5506. Paid for by the Keeps Eagle Settlement Fund.
Every day your business faces change and new challenges. One place you want stability and consistency is in your workers' compensation insurance. It's one of the first things every business needs, and it's one of the last things you want to worry about. More businesses turn to SCF Arizona than anyone in the state. SCF Arizona's size and stability provide affordable rates, caring claim service, and an expertise in helping your workplace stay safe. We care about your business. We're SCF Arizona. Visit scfaz.com and put us to work for you.
Ma'am, please wait outside. The doctor may need to start slamming his fist on the patient's chest and yelling, "Live, damn you, live," and that can be hard to watch.
Ouch. When you get those feelings, insurance companies start to go bankrupt.
You'll need drugs to kill the pain.
You need a doctor.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
Holy where's the Tylenol?
This is Dennis Wilenchek, and I guess I need some Tylenol today, too. I'm here with Jack Wilenchek, and this is Legalese every Wednesday brought to you on KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100. Our number here is 602-277-KFNX. That's 277-5369, should you wish to call in, because today we're going to be talking about a topic that I'm sure is on a lot of people's minds, given what's going on back in Washington, and that is health care, or as it's commonly referred to by many, Obamacare. So we're going to be talking this hour with Matt Hines, who is a state representative from Tucson, who happens to also be a doctor and has that expertise as well as the legislative background, to talk with us about Obamacare and what's going on in healthcare in general in the country today as well as the state. Matt, are you with us on the phone?
I am. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for making the time to be with us. I know you're busy. And we wanted to have you on the show previously, and I know your schedule didn't permit it, but anyway, glad to have you aboard today. Because today, as I said, we're going to be talking about this whole subject of health care in Arizona and taking the hour with it. By way of introduction, I should tell our audience that Matt, who has said is a representative from Tucson, District 29, graduated from Wayne State University School of Medicine in Detroit and moved to Tucson after accepting a position in the University of Arizona Internal Medicine Residency Program. and has been intimately involved with every aspect of patient care during his time as a resident physician at University Medical Center in Tucson, at the Tucson Medical Center and the Southern Arizona Veterans Administration, and has worked with patients in the emergency area, has made daily rounds, helped implement post-hospitalization care plans, and as a resident, functioned as a clinician, as well as a coordinator for medical treatment. And it's because of his involvement in these roles, having experienced firsthand the complexities of multiple healthcare systems, including private community hospital, large research institution, and government-administered medical care, that we have asked Matt to be with us to explain what's going on in healthcare in the United States right now. And as I said, when he's not busy acting as a serving, I should say, as a District 29 representative, Matt is actively practicing medicine and treating people with serious illnesses requiring hospitalization. So, Matt, with that introduction, let me ask you, first of all, you're from Michigan. What brought you to Arizona?
I just love the place. I interviewed all over the country, and I had made a decision to kind of, you know, find my own place to set up my own life, and I'd been in Michigan for my entire life up to that point. And when I landed in Tucson and experienced the people and the community and the climate, and I just knew that I was going to be living here for the rest of my life, and that's just, I mean, it's just not really something you can describe almost. It's just something that I experienced.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you before we get rolling on the subject. I mean, it is rather unusual, I think, for a doctor. Of course, we have on the national scene, we have Ron Paul, who, of course, is a doctor, I believe.
And his son, actually. Rand Paul is an ophthalmologist.
Oh, is he an ophthalmologist? Well, he's a medical doctor, I guess, some form, right?
Yep. Yes.
But I mean, it's kind of unusual, really, to have on the national or state scene in terms of Congress or the state legislatures to have someone who has a medical background like yours. And so, what got you interested in being a legislator?
That's a great question, and you're right. There aren't a lot of us, and many of the ones who are there, state level and also congressional, are retired, which I'm not saying that means they have less experience, but there's something about being in the trenches and actively going to the hospital or going to a clinic and seeing patients and really, you know, treating people actively. It just helps, I believe, tremendously in perspective and kind of keeps you current. You know, I was throughout my training in Michigan and Detroit, and then the rest of my training here in Tucson at those three different hospital systems, across all of the systems, I was experiencing inadequacies, and whether it was people waiting for 12, 16 hours sometimes during the busy parts of the year in the emergency departments unnecessarily, or resource allocation issues, or the fact that you have folks that don't have any type of basic coverage who then go streaming into the emergency departments really sick, very costly to take care of folks, and that ends up falling onto the taxpayers, actually, or onto the hospitals, making it hard for them to function and to keep in the black.
Yeah, so, I think that, you know, we had some guests on this, and that seems to be the general consensus, that people today, particularly in the lower income strata, tend to use the emergency centers of these hospitals as sort of their treating physicians, which is really not what it's designed for.
Correct, and it's not just struggling working families. It's a lot of folks across all actually socioeconomic strata that I've seen in my own hospital in central East Central Tucson, the Tucson Medical Center, where I work primarily. It's also true for those who have no basic coverage or access to care. It's hard to roll into a primary care provider's office when you can't pay in any way and compensate for the care. So while a lot of physicians, myself included, do a tremendous amount of pro bono work, you can only do so much of that before all of a sudden you don't have a business or a practice anymore. So, and hospitals are the same way. But you actually see folks using the emergency departments for all sorts of inappropriate reasons. Convenience care. I just need a refill of my blood pressure medication.
Right.
conflict. And so there's a lot of education that really has to go on. And seeing all of these problems, which, to be honest, outlining the problems, we could really use the entire hour, that's what really became so frustrating for me. And as I looked to where I think it makes sense to look, in this case, this is a major public health and safety issue as the healthcare system is deteriorating in this way. You wonder what and who might be helping out. And I would say that the state legislatures have a tremendous impact because they control in Arizona over $6 billion of into the Medicaid system. And then, of course, Medicare is governed federally. And the policymakers have a tremendous amount of ability to affect the healthcare system. And that's why I looked at that, and I realized that at the time I was looking at running for the legislature, there was only one practicing physician, I believe a pediatrician from Yuma, actually, Bob Cannell, was in the legislature out of 90, and he was retiring. And so we were at risk for having not only very minimal health provider representation, which I would say is also extends to, you know, we're representing patients and hospitals and everybody, not just ourselves. But that sort of point of view was at risk being eliminated completely from our state legislature, which is why I ran. And then for a couple of years, because I lost the first time, it was. There was no physician and nobody from any type of healthcare background in our state legislature. And I believe in Congress there's about a dozen in the House, and I want to say three physicians in the U.S. Senate. So really, out of 535, you have about 15 mostly retired physicians. And then in the state legislature, you have two of us, one retired and one not. So I think those who work day to day or those who are very familiar with the healthcare system, and this is not a Republican or Democratic thing. This is wherever your background is politically.
Are you a Republican or a Democrat?
I am a Democrat. I represent Tucson, and I'm a Democrat.
Okay.
But either way, and although if my parents are listening, they're cringing because my entire family is actually Republican. So I get some blowback from that.
Well, let me ask you. We have about 2 minutes before our break coming up here, but
sure.
can you describe in 2 minutes or less for our listening audience what we refer to as Obamacare is? We hear that term all the time. What is Obamacare?
Yeah, so the Obamacare is another term for the Affordable Care Act is one of the is actually in the law's title, and that is it's a very large health care reform that acts to, first of all, implement patient protections from the insurance industry in many cases. And one example of that would be making sure that people cannot be denied access to insurance coverage if they have a pre-existing condition. That's a very unpopular thing that insurance companies do that they will no longer be able to do thanks to the reform. It also implements a way to help many of the, and the numbers vary, but 40 to 50 million folks who are underinsured in this country. It helps about 30 million of them, ideally, through an exchange process and a partial subsidy of a kind of public-private partnership, helps them find an affordable insurance carrier to make sure they get basic medical attention and basic medical coverage.
Okay, we're gonna have to stop you there so we can take our break, and then we'll come back after the break with Representative Matt Hines talking about Obamacare and the health system in this country. This is Dennis Wolinchek, Legalese.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Every day is a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the five most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
Arizona sports fans, this is Andy Dorf, host of Dorf on Sports, heard every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. on KFNX Radio for my good friends, azcasino.com. Get dialed in with the online leader since 1997, that's GoTo Entertainment's azcasino.com. Call 888-333-PLAY now and mention Dorf on Sports for a $25 free play, a 25% cash bonus, that's 888-333-PLAY, that's GoTo Entertainment's azcasino.com. Any wager, any sport, anytime, azcasino.com.
And this is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese every Wednesday, 4 to 5. We're here at the studios in Midtown of KFNX 1100. And our number here is 602-277-5369. That's KFNX. If you want to call and speak with Representative Matt Hines from Tucson talking about healthcare and healthcare reform. Matt, we were talking before the break about what Obamacare is. And I want to try to summarize this as succinctly if I can and simply if I can for our audience, okay, in sort of bullet point fashion. So one of the things about Obamacare, as it's called, I don't know if affectionately or not, but is that you said it's a good thing in terms of the pre-existing conditions that insurers cannot basically cut off people because of that.
We'll prevent them from getting coverage in the first place, which is usually what happens.
Okay, so that's one area of it. Now, let me stop on that area and ask you, and I recognize, and for our listening audience, you are a Democrat, and Obama, of course, is our sitting president, is a Democrat, so we get that off the table. But trying to be objective about it as much as you can, both from the position of being a legislator as well as a doctor, why would anybody argue against that point? Is there any serious debate about that particular point? I just want to take these one at a time.
I actually, in walking door-to-door to visit with my constituents, as we do,
yeah.
No, actually, that's one of the most popular points of it.
I would think so.
Because that really is a patient protection issue.
Sure.
And just because as a 12-year-old, you had some issues with asthma, why does that mean that to get medical coverage when you're over 18, no pulmonary diseases will be covered by your carrier? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think everybody sort of agrees with it. I talked to on that point, too. So let's go on to the next point. Like I said, if we can hit these in bullet points. So the next hallmark, if you will, of what we call Obamacare is what?
Well, I mean, you know, again, since it has so many
components,
it's hard to say what.
Well, I'm saying let's hit the big ones so that everybody at the end of the show has a pretty basic understanding.
Sure. So the exchange system, the health insurance exchanges, which allow folks middle to low income that are struggling to get that basic coverage to find a carrier, and also they are eligible, and as their need demands, they're eligible for a premium tax credit, meaning that it can be used only toward paying for those basic medical coverage plans in the exchange, but there's a tax credit to help some of those folks in that middle-low income bracket to get into some kind of coverage status.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about there, if I can summarize that, is some kind of a tax credit, you're saying.
Correct.
That ensures that people who might not otherwise be able to afford traditional health insurance are subsidized, in a sense, by the tax credit to be able to obtain some kind of insurance, correct?
That is right, yes.
Okay, and I guess what controversy, to your knowledge, has that engendered? I mean, what's the criticism of that you've heard?
Well, I think a lot of criticism of not only that component, but variety of components of this and certainly the entire package, the entire federal reform, has been, it's so difficult to actually talk about succinctly, as you say. And it's very difficult to understand. It was 2,800 pages. I mean, and it's just, it's a large reform, and healthcare is so tremendously important to so many people, so many voters, especially Medicare age folks, that it's a very sensitive topic. And I think that,
well, and that's why I wanted to address these points, because it's kind of like the tax code, you know, and I know that Obama has spoken about simplifying things and whatever. All politicians tend to talk about simplifying things, but at the end of the day, it winds up everything's more complicated. Nobody understands any of it. And I doubt that anybody out there, unless they have a reason to be doing it, has sat down and actually read this, you know, act, bill, law.
Right.
And I'm not sure you have, but maybe it sounds like you obviously have read a lot more of it than anybody else that I've talked to. But
well, lots of executive summaries, and I take that point. When there are executive summaries that are dozens and dozens of pages long, you know that you have a large, you know, piece of underlying law. But that's, you know, the exchange is, I think, just this fear of change, not knowing exactly what's going to happen. And there's a lack of understanding of kind of what is coming down the pipeline here. That's engendered previously a lot of criticism and a lot of anxiety about it. And I understand that.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to understand it, really, because I really have not personally focused on it all that much. You know, my firm has health insurance and we pay for it and blah, 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 blah. And I don't really spend a lot of time focusing on it. So I really want to understand why people are so opposed to this Obamacare that I've heard, you know, on radio shows and so forth. People really have a visceral gut reaction against it, at least in this state. I think, you know, obviously there are people for it, but I mean, you hear these horrible things, and I want to kind of understand from you why you believe, putting your political, you know, persuasion to the side, if you can, why you believe that it's engendered. Is it just ignorance, do you believe, or is there some legitimate basis why people have a problem with this law? It seems like it's trying to provide health care to lots of people who couldn't otherwise get it. And is that coming out of the pocket of the people that can't afford it? I guess that would be one criticism I can think of off the top of my head, right?
Well, yeah, that you know, this is directing a new revenue source, some taxpayer dollars, to help those who are less able to afford these types of insurance programs because they're so tremendously expensive.
But in the end, it seems to me, in fairness to everybody, it seems to me that while that's probably true, and I'm probably one of those taxpayers who's probably going to wind up paying for it in part, it seems to me that that's almost worth paying for, just as I look at this objectively, because if I don't pay for that or help that subsidy or whatever, or we put our taxpayer dollars to helping indigent or needy people to be covered with basic insurance, health insurance, both proactive as well as when they actually need it, it seems to me we're going to be left with a far larger problem of people walking the streets who are basically ill and causing all kinds of issues that I can think of easily because of that are a far bigger burden on our society, it seems to me, than if they were healthy. But what am I missing there? I don't know what
you
I'm missing.
You weren't. That was you did a much better job than I am in terms of summarizing why this legislation was pushed forward so aggressively by the White House and by, at that time, the democratically controlled Congress. And I think that you did a great job of summarizing the kind of ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? If you have your unknown diabetic patient with a foot ulcer getting some treatment from a podiatrist and from their a primary care doctor, preventing that wound from becoming an infection or from becoming an amputation, possibly a systemic illness that could even kill you called sepsis, preventing all of that means that the hospital and taxpayers in many cases avoided hundreds of thousands of dollars in healthcare expenses for a couple thousand bucks a year in basic medical coverage. And so it makes sense from a cost-benefit assessment. And when you're sitting in the emergency department with, I don't know if you have children, but if you have a small child and they have some sort of superficial injury to their, you know, scalp laceration, and which they bleed, by the way. So you're sitting in the ER waiting to get in to have this thing stapled up. Unfortunately, there are asthmatics who don't have the ability to pay for inhalers, and therefore they're there, and they're going to get treated before your kid. right? Because triage is the way it works. People
right.
People are sick as seen first. So that actually helps everyone to get as many people with access to basic medical care so they aren't clogging up our emergency department.
Well, again, it seems to me, and I consider myself a conservative Republican by nature, but on a lot of issues, fiscal issues, but this is an issue to me that seems to be a no-brainer, that why wouldn't we want to prioritize and put our money toward helping those in need, if you will, to be healthy? I just don't even get it. But, you know, I'd like to hear from our listeners. If anybody's out there and wants to speak up, our number is 602-277-KFNX, 5369. And maybe you disagree with me on this and our guest, but I'd like to hear from you. What is the problem with Obamacare? I always hear everybody complaining about it on the debates and everything else. I just guess I don't understand why that isn't a basic fundamental right that as a country we should ensure and protect. So anyway, if you want to call in anybody who feels differently, please do, and we'll hear you out. Let's talk, Matt, before the break. We have a minute or two here. What do you see coming down the road? Do you think this is going to be repealed? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, and I certainly can't get into the minds of the nine Supreme Court justices, really, but I doubt it. I mean, we have multiple decisions across a variety of appellate courts. I think there have been three now. Two have basically upheld it, actually completely upheld it, and one appellate court has said it's all good except the portion with regard to an individual mandate.
All right. Well, we'll pick that up after the break. I'm getting the signal that we're needing to take a break, Matt. So we'll be back with Representative Matt Hines from District 29 talking about health care in the state and in the country and the state of health care in both. This is Dennis Wilenchek, KFNX 1100 News Talk Radio.
Laura Ingraham, Neil Bortz, Lou Dobbs, Michael Savage. KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, the voice of the valley.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. The Federal Reserve Wednesday joined five other central banks in a coordinated plan to make it cheaper to borrow U.S. dollars. The moves hoped to help boost ailing European banks. Bob Lenzner with Forbes magazine says the action is designed to help stem potential economic chaos worldwide.
I mean, there would be really chaos if some nation, if Italy defaulted or if Portugal defaulted, it would lead to problems with Spain. And you have a lot of European banks that have an enormous amount of debt.
The actions by the central banks played big in Wall Street today, with all three major indexes up. The Dow gained 490 points, and both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed more than 4% higher. Evangelist Billy Graham was admitted to an Asheville, North Carolina hospital today. Officials say he's having evaluation and treatment of his lungs. Graham turned 93 this month. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio.
As to count 13, Georgia Thompson, that the defendant should be sentenced to death.
A Maricopa County jury decides the fate of convicted baseline killer Mark Goodell, sentencing him to 9 death sentences. Protests turned ugly at the Scottsdale Kierlin Resort. Occupy Phoenix protesters pepper sprayed by Phoenix police.
Makes you choke. It's very, very painful.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies looking for suspects at least 4 home burglaries.
The concern is, of course, that the suspects will return, and always the risk is that, you know, will they be willing to enter an occupied home?
2,900 pounds of marijuana seized by the Border Patrol in 2 instances.
These smugglers are often abandoning their contraband because they don't want to get apprehended.
An 18-year-old gets hit by a school bus in Mesa.
It looks like at this point the driver of the school bus will face at least a citation for failure to yield while turning left.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
And this KFNX traffic report is brought to you by the Yard House. You're going to find a very serious accident on 59th Avenue north of Indian School Road. There's also an overturned vehicle eastbound on the Papago right before the Salon Highway. And you're also going to find another collision westbound on the Red Mountain right before 32nd Street. Stop into the Art House, enjoy great food, classic rock music, and 130 taps of imported craft and specialty ales and lagers. The Art House at Desert Ridge Marketplace, Scottsdale Fashion Square, or Westgate City Center.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. November going out in a pretty nice way with temperatures mid to upper 70s today. Tomorrow, December 1st, a big winter storm ahead. That means very windy. Areas of blowing dust down here, only 64. Friday and Saturday, mid to upper 50s for highs, scattered showers. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And currently at our downtown studios, we're sitting at 75 degrees. Next news in 30 minutes. And winter breaks here on KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. We will do our morning laps, walk our dogs around the block, pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
From Chandler to Troon, the Elton Realty family has served the entire valley for over 20 years. Short sales, foreclosures, luxury homes, family court-appointed special commissioners, whatever your real estate needs, we do it all. Flexible fees, if not completely satisfied, opt out anytime. Call us today, 480-451-3318, or visit eltonrealty.com. That's 480-451-3318. Elton Realty,
your real estate survival guides.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case.
Got a case of the plotter or printer blues? Call the experts. Call the doctors. Plotter doctors can bring your printer back to life and is your prescription for saving you money on all your ink and toner supplies. Mention this ad for 30% off all repairs and special supply pricing. Visit plotterdoctors.com. P-L-O-T-T-E-R doctors.com.
You have the right to remain silent. That's what I'm... If you give up the right to remain silent, freedom. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Freedom. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer!
Freedom. And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
This is Dennis Willinchek, KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, every Wednesday from 4 to 5 here with Jack Willinchek. And we are talking with Representative Matt Hines in general about health care in the state and the state of health care and in the country and Obamacare. And as I said before the break, I don't get it personally. I don't understand why people are opposed to Obamacare, so to speak. A lot of things about Obama I've spoken out against, but this is not one of them. Because I see it that people need care, and it's far less costly in the end, in my opinion, for little I know about it, that it seems logical to me to help people get basic care than to let them walk the streets without it. So we have asked our listening audience to let us know why you disagree, if you do, and to ask any questions that you want of Representative Matt Hines from Tucson, who happens to be a doctor as well. We have Steve from Scottsdale that's called us during the break. Steve, are you on the line with us?
I am, yeah.
Okay, well, tell us what your question or what your comment is, and we'll take it from there.
Well, actually, there are a few things. Jack, you're an attorney. Is that correct?
We are attorneys, yes.
Okay. How would you feel about a client saying, I just signed several bills, or I signed several contracts. Could you take a look at them now that they're signed and tell me if they're good? Because that is exactly what Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House at the time, said to all of us. Let's sign this bill so that we could see what's in it. Anything with a beginning like that can't be
good. Well, that we clearly agree upon. I think that's ridiculous, too. But putting that aside for the moment, let's focus now on what it is that it does say. And that's what I was asking you know, Representative Hines about, you know, what does it say? I'm not clear on it, probably any more than most people. And
well, let's talk about some things that are pretty easy to
What's
understand.
Your background, by the way? You sound like you're pretty knowledgeable about this subject, so.
Well, I'm knowledgeable in the sense that I'm in the medical business, and I have been for basically all of my adult life, beginning with being a medical student at Temple University for 2 years, and then developing diagnostic ultrasound devices and working with orthopedic surgeons and other healthcare providers. And I could tell you from a strictly personal level, I do not know one doctor. And I'm in my 60s, so I'm dealing with doctors who are also, let's say, perhaps older.
Okay.
Most of the older doctors are prepared to hang it up rather than deal with the healthcare reform. But
Hold on. Let's keep you on the line if you have the time. Let's ask Representative Hines, who happens to be a doctor, what his take is on that.
Well, I'll be the first, I guess, but I do know quite a few of my colleagues who are. A lot of them are wait and see, but there are actually a significant portion of my colleagues in the hospital and that I work with in clinics that are very supportive. And perhaps it's just the Tucson physician base, I'm not sure. But there are definitely those who are strongly opposed as well. There's a diversity of opinion, I think, as with all things.
So, now, let me ask you guys, both of you, while I got both of you, since you're both knowledgeable in this area, why would, again, a doctor be opposed to it? You know, if I were to translate this into lawyers, I can't imagine why a lawyer would be opposed to it, having more patients, more customers, so to speak. Why is it a bad thing for a doctor? So, Steve, why don't you tell us why you think the doctors are going to hang it up because of this law?
Well, let's take a look at what is happening. There's a $500 billion reduction to Medicare. $500 billion less is going to go into the Medicare account. Now, on the surface, that may or may not mean anything, but let me put it into perspective. We all hear about baby boomers. In the next 7 to 10 years, a third of the population, 30% more specifically, roughly 100 million people are going to be in the Medicare system. 100 million people are now going to be requiring health care, and 80% of the health care people consume in their entire lifetime is consumed in the last 20% of their lives. So the people who are entering this Medicare system are going to require more and more health care and more demands on the system. The system is going to have a reduction in funding to it of $500 billion.
Okay, let me stop you again. Representative Hines, is that so? And if it is so, why would the government reduce that funding as opposed to increasing it?
Well, again, there's an ongoing deficit and debt crisis, and I think we've heard a lot about that, and this becomes a very important decision point. We have to decide how we're going to deal with debt and also balance the needs of our aging population and the Medicare recipients. And I think it's something that we're continuing to discuss.
So is this going to actually help or hurt, is I guess what Steve is trying to bring out. Is this really, if we're going to take from one pocket into another, is it going to accomplish anything, is I think what he's saying.
Well, my response to that is anything that stabilizes the healthcare system, meaning people are getting the attention and care that they need in a timely fashion for less cost overall in the long term, that is a positive.
Okay, so Steve, let me turn to you really because I appreciate your call, and as I said, you seem knowledgeable in the subject. So if you don't mind, I'm kind of using you as a foil here, but. I appreciate your doing that. I mean, listening to Representative Hines on that, I mean, the point of this is why wouldn't people be in favor of reducing the overall tax burden on the Medicare system, federal Medicare system, and causing people then to use these tax credits as a means to obtain insurance for themselves? What would be your objection to that, if there is one?
You know, the interesting thing is a politician could take something that And I do not mean this to be disrespectful to Dr. Hines. However, he is a politician and he is a doctor. It's the politician that you hear speaking now. What we're talking about right now is a healthcare system that's not going to take effect until 2014. Insurance companies realize how idiotic it is to have all of these things that you're not going to have pre-existing conditions. Look, the reality of it is it costs more to take care of a patient who's going to require more health care, somebody with diabetes, somebody with hypertension. So they prorate premiums based on need. So to say you're going to neutralize that, it's like say you're going to change reality.
Well, but you're at least going to allow people to get into that system as opposed to barring them completely, right?
Well, we'll have to see just how people get into it, because the only way they're going to be able to afford that is through a government health care plan. Let me just give you an example.
Which is Medicare, by the way.
Which is Medicare. But let's go back to the very beginning. What the Democrats, what Obama has created, and he has said this repeatedly, let's not get a, let a crisis go to waste, and if there isn't a crisis, let's create a crisis. If we looked at what the problem was, not a crisis, but the problem, the politicians throw numbers around from 15 million to 40 million people who are uninsured or were uninsured. So they say that we have to take care of these people. But the reality of it is when people who are good intentions, such as you, Jack, who want to make sure that people who are indigent or whatever get health care, they're overlooking the reality that they already have health care. Rich people have health care or don't need it because they could afford to pay for their health care. Poor people have health care because they get it through the state, which, by the way, is going to also be reduced by $500 billion to the state funds for health care as well as part of this Obama plan. So we're talking
actually,
about...
Actually, that's not correct. The Obama plan did not force Governor Brewer and the Republican-controlled legislature to slash access funding. That's not accurate.
That is actually, that is accurate, to $500 billion for Medicare and for Medicaid.
All right, well, let's do this. Before we have to take our break, Steve, why don't you wrap up basically what your points are in terms of, like, in 2 minutes or less, and then we'll have Representative Hines have the ability after the break to respond to it.
My summary is really quite simple. You cannot, nor can anyone in this country other than some politician who can manipulate truth, no one can tell me what government program has been successful. Anything that the government has been involved in directly has failed. You have the post office. You have Medicare. You have Amtrak. You have, you name a government program, and it is failing.
All right, so your position is you just leave all these people to their own devices. That's about it?
Well, no, we have to – look, I haven't heard one word about tort reform. I haven't heard
Well, that's
one
another
word.
Show. That's another issue. But okay, anyway, let me is that mainly your point? Because if it is, we'll take our break, and then we're going to come back and listen to Representative Hines from Tucson respond to that, okay?
Yes, my point is that we don't want more government in our lives.
Okay,
we want less.
I got your point. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. This is Dennis Wolinchek on KFNX, and we're going to take our commercial breaks right now and then come back and listen to Representative Matt Hines from Tucson talking about health care and responding to our caller.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
He's the high priest of the Church of the Painful Truth.
Your experiment with this community organizer has failed.
The Neil Bort Show, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on KFNX.
How would you like to put your troubles with the IRS behind you? If you are behind on your taxes, don't try negotiating with the IRS alone. The IRS can take advantage of taxpayers who don't know the law or collection procedures. Ameristar's team of enrolled agents, tax professionals, and CPAs with master's degrees in taxation can go to work to protect you from paying too much. Get fast relief with Ameristar Tax Centers. Once the proper paperwork is filed, Ameristar will deal with the IRS directly so you don't have to. Plus, Ameristar Tax Center is a service
certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know the secrets to getting you maximum savings. Get real tax relief by calling for a free, no-obligation consultation. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-761-7056. If the IRS is garnishing your wages or sending threatening letters, we can help. Call now. 800-761-7056. 800-761-7056.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
I'm hiding in Honduras.
And this is Dennis Walenchek and Jack Walenchek on Legalese. Every Wednesday from 4 to 5 leading into Michael Savage on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And we just had a good, knowledgeable caller who has a different point of view than I expressed, which I appreciate. That's what this country is all about, is to express our opinions. And we're with Representative Matt Hines, a doctor and a legislator from Tucson. Dr. Hines, I should say, let me play a quick clip which goes along with what our last listener was talking about, I think. This clip is from a gentleman named Wendell Potter, who's the author of a book called Deadly Spin. The subtitle of the book is called An Insurance Company Insider Speaks Out on How Corporate PR is Killing Healthcare and Deceiving Americans. And I want your take on this along with what our caller brought out, which is basically to summarize that his point was, is that, hey, everything government gets involved in, including healthcare, it gets messed up somehow. So you being a legislator, although a state legislator, I'd appreciate your take on this. So we're going to play this clip right now.
The industry has always tried to make Americans think that government-run systems are the worst thing that could possibly happen to them. That if you even consider that, you're heading down on the slippery slope towards socialism. So they have used scare tactics for years and years and years to keep that from happening. It could potentially reduce the profits of these big companies. So that is their biggest concern.
Okay, so Representative Hines, having heard that and our prior caller and the concern of, I think, a lot of people that, you know, we're slipping into socialism the more we mess with this healthcare system, are these just paranoid fears or is there some legitimacy to this? And what's your response to that?
Well, I do not agree with the point that the caller made that government involvement in anything at all in our lives is bad and turns to, you know, is not good for us. I, you know, look at the armed services, look at Medicare. It's actually very efficiently run. Look at Social Security. Find for me somebody over the age of 65 who's upset with Social Security. My grandmother, who passed away earlier in 2003, for over 30 years, she was 97 years old, for over 30 years received every month exactly on time her Social Security check. So I think there are a lot of government programs that are tremendously important and that actually work exactly the way they're supposed to.
Is this one of them?
We don't really know yet. I hope that it is. But I know that with Medicare, a very large government program, I have not found one patient or one family member who's on Medicare that wants to not be on it.
But I think the caller's point was, the caller from Scottsdale, Steve, his point was that they're taking money under this program away from Medicare. I think that if he's correct on that, again, I'm assuming that. He seemed pretty knowledgeable.
But, you know, I don't really know what his background was. He said he went to medical school but didn't say that he was a doctor, so I don't really know what his exact background was.
Well, is he right on that? Under this program, is money being taken from Medicare?
That is certainly possible. Now, what he's talking about is excessive payments, meaning payments greater than the cost to provide the care, greater than the going market rate for the care, and that's Medicare Advantage. So while complaining about a government program in the same sentence, he's also complaining about cutting the government program. It was a very difficult to get my mind around that exactly where he was coming from. I think that we have to keep in context that Medicare covers millions and millions of Americans, and when you add in the fact that federal employees, state employees, anyone who is a vet through the VA system, anyone who is incarcerated, who's in the care of the state or the federal government for whatever reason, all of those, and we have our Medicaid system for those who are the poorest among us. those people are all covered with a taxpayer-subsidized health care system and quite efficiently.
All right, we've got another caller, and again, we've only got the hour. We're running short on time, unfortunately.
This sure.
is a fascinating topic. We're trying to squeeze a lot into a short period of time, but we've got a caller from Scottsdale, Bill, who I think may have a comment or a question for you. We're speaking with Representative Matt Hines, a doctor from Tucson, who's also a legislator.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bill. What's your question or comment?
Well, comment is we have a couple examples of the government running health care. One of them is Medicare, and how you can say that is successful is a shock to me. Medicare is going bankrupt. They keep going over budget. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that are, over budget, and, if things go as they're supposed to, there'll be a 25% cut across the board in Medicare, which would be a total disaster to the whole healthcare system. So to say that they're running Medicare well is ridiculous. Number two.
Right, well, hold on. Let's let Representative Hines respond to that quickly.
Well, the fact that politicians way before me have at the federal level decided to borrow from Medicare billions upon billions of dollars was tremendously irresponsible, and I will agree with that.
It's not a matter of borrowing from Medicare. The way that the system's set up, the Medicare budget is calculated every year, and for every year it's gone over budget, and instead of doing what they're supposed to do and cut the rates, they've decided, okay, we're going to pass it on this year. We'll deal about it next year because no one wants to deal with it. So it's made Medicare in the red by hundreds of millions of dollars.
All right. What was your second point, Bill?
Well, you can look at the VA system. I'm intimately familiar with VA systems, knowing patients who have had service from both systems. I love our veterans, and I'm proud of what their work they did, but while there are some good VAs across the country, generally speaking, healthcare delivered in the VA system is very subpar. To have to wait 8 months for a routine appointment is not an example of good healthcare.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great. We appreciate your comments. And let's let Representative Hines answer that. And also, I guess the general question that you're bringing up, Bill, is can government be a competent overseer of healthcare? And
one last point, if I may.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I think the issue gets a little bit clouded. There are two separate issues, though related, they are separate. One is the cost of delivering health care is way too expensive today, and I think everyone would agree with that.
Okay.
That's one issue. The other issue is who should get health care? How should we use our taxes and our general coffers to cover those who can't afford it? And they're two separate issues. Obamacare, as it's called, mostly addresses the second. I don't think there are great things in there.
All right, I got it. We're sure running short of time, so I want Representative Hines to – I appreciate your call. Good questions. Representative Hines, in the time we have left, he raises some good questions. The cost of health care, which is something I intended to get into, but, of course, the time just runs. What about that? I mean, is health care just out of control, the cost of health care?
The costs are rising. Medical inflation is large. And that has to do with a lot of things. That has to do with the fact that we are living longer and longer and longer. And as the previous caller mentioned, that's the time when we use a lot more healthcare resources as we're aging. And combined with the fact that technology and advancements in medical technology, which on the one hand, of course, is a phenomenal thing, and we're one of we are still one of the world's leaders in that research and development. Biomedical research and development is a great thing, but it's also very costly to implement. And then prescription drug costs. Also, we're at the forefront of development there as well.
I think the caller's point, though, is that the Obamacare program does not really address as much as it should the issue of the skyrocketing cost of the health care. And that's really the question I have. Did it omit that in terms of doing anything to control that?
No, actually, one of the inefficiencies that some would argue in the Medicare system that exists is those overpayments. That the first caller referenced the $500 billion in cuts over the decade to that part of Medicare. Well, why is a government program paying more than it needs to for particular procedures or reimbursement? That's an inefficiency. And So the way that we're addressing the second question is by addressing the first question. The second question being, who should the government help to get basic medical coverage? Everyone. It's a very simple answer. And if anyone who's taken the Hippocratic Oath like I have, they shouldn't have to think about that response.
Okay, so I guess the question before our break is, do you think that under this Obamacare that we're transferring money, basically, is what I got out of the call, we're transferring money to people that otherwise couldn't afford health care to bring them into the system without addressing or applying that money, if you will, to reducing the overall cost of health care?
The efficiencies and cost reductions to existing government health care programs, in part, will be paying for kind of a lateral shift, will be paying for bringing those who are under or uninsured into the system to the benefit of everybody in the healthcare system.
All right, Representative Hines, we're out of time, unfortunately. I really appreciate your being with us for this hour. I know our listeners enjoyed it and have a lot of questions, and hopefully we can get you on again. I know the time just flies, and there's so much more you could have said and would say, as would I. We will revisit this subject on health care and continue to follow it. This is Dennis Wolinchek on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And stay tuned for the Michael Savage Show after these commercial messages. We'll see you next week.
We will not be an easy target. We will never roll over and let pain plan our day, or let an ache tell us what we can and cannot do. We will not linger on the sofa, ask somebody else to bring us the mail, or take the parking space closest to the door. But what we will do is take action. We will plan ahead. We will protect our bodies and fight back by moving. Lace up our sneakers and grab our tennis rackets. We will bowl. We will do our morning laps and bike ride through Saturday afternoon. We will walk our dogs around the block. We will pass up the elevator and proudly take the stairs. Because arthritis can't beat us if we beat it first. In the fight against arthritis, you need a weapon. What's yours? To learn more, visit us at fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX 1100, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Stations, LLC. It's 5 o'clock.